You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. The National Endowment for the Arts was created by Congress back in 1965. This organization doles out grants to arts groups across the country, including right here in Idaho. Over the past 5 years, the NEA has awarded more than $2 million to schools and organizations in our state. Groups like Ballet Idaho, Idaho Writers Guild, as well as the Sun Valley Film Festival, just to name a few. The leader of the organization is appointed by the president and confirmed by Congress. Mary Ann Carter was appointed acting chair of that agency in 2018 by President Trump. She was confirmed just this month. Before serving in the role, Carter came from a political background. She was a chief policy advisor for Republican Senator Rick Scott of Florida and has also worked at the conservative think tank, the Heritage Foundation. Yesterday, Carter visited Idaho and made a stop right here at our studios in Boise. Our senior producer, Frankie Barnhill, interviewed Carter, and she started by asking about her visit to Idaho.
I understand you've been busy making stops to arts institutions, both in Idaho Falls and here in Boise. What have you learned about the arts scene? You know, what have you seen that stands out compared to your visits to other states?
Well, what is so thrilling is to see the amount of growth in the arts here in Idaho. I started the trip in Idaho Falls and couldn't believe the number of organizations that have outstanding art outreach, whether it is for children in the auditorium that we visited or at the art museum that is there. We also saw a revamped Colonial Theater, which was amazing. We had the great privilege then of driving down the highway. We stopped at the Stevens Performing Arts Center at Idaho State University, which is an amazing facility. And we even stopped at a ranch in Jerome, Idaho, to get a little taste of Idaho, so to speak. We had some wonderful beef there at a ranch. And then last night we enjoyed the Idaho Shakespeare Festival. A wonderful performance of Julius Caesar. I had colleagues from the National Endowment for the Arts go last year, but this was my first trip to the Idaho Shakespeare Festival, and it was just an enjoyable evening. And then today, we have been very busy. We have visited the Egyptian Theater, which was fantastic. And one of the highlights of the visit is we spent the afternoon at Boise State, and we got a tour of the new Fine Arts Building.
And how is that Fine Arts Building?
It is comparable to any major new art facility, I would say, in the world. It is world class. I laughed and said, did you go to other organizations or universities as you were, you know, putting plans together? I said, because you are now going to be the flagship of which everyone else is going to measure. Everyone is going to come here as they're building out. It's really that good and that unique. I think it's going to be great for the university. I think applications will go up. I think it will create a whole new generation of artists who will hopefully stay in Boise and stay in Idaho and be able to make a living.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of students now that school's started are excited to be in that building. I know I have personal friends who were very jealous when they saw that new building go up and say, oh, I wish I could have studied there. Since you've been acting chair of the National Endowment for the Arts, since 2018, you've already been able to lead some initiatives. One of them has been expanding art therapy programs for service members and veterans. Tell us more about why that's important.
So that's our Creative Forces program. We partner with the Department of Defense. It started as a program on one base, Walter Reed, in Bethesda, Maryland, and became so popular that it soon expanded to 12 clinical sites outside of D.C. on other bases. And what it is it provides art therapy to our men and women in uniform who are recovering from traumatic brain injury. And it's not the only therapy. It's part of the overall medical treatment. So it is one aspect of their clinical therapy that they're going through. But we've seen huge success in it, so much so that we are still expanding. The Department of Defense wants to expand even further. And now Veterans Affairs would like us to start going into veterans hospitals. So we're very proud of the work with the military in that regard. But what we've also been able to do is create a roadmap for other areas. So now we are doing research into providing art therapy in pediatric oncology as well as opioid recovery. And so those are two areas I think that art therapy will also be very helpful in. And we just have found that the more we look to this, the more outside groups and doctors, and we partner with the National Institute of Health on a few issues, that more and more people, organizations, and professions are understanding that arts are an integral part of life, not just a luxury.
Hmm. You're also a proponent of making art more accessible. What exactly do you mean by that? And you know, how will you know that you've kind of accomplished that? What are some flags on the way that tell you that you've been able to do that?
Well, I believe everyone should have access to the arts. And to that end, we make sure that every congressional district, all 435, receive at least one grant from us. We also are working to expand some of our national initiatives, such as our Poetry Out Loud, which is a poetry recitation contest open to high school students. So in the last 2 years in Idaho, for example, 7,500 high school kids have competed. We know we can expand that and do better, and we want to. It's also really important that we fund rural America. And so a lot of the smaller organizations tend to be in rural areas. So a third of our funding goes to organizations with art budgets of under $500,000. And I'm just a big believer that no matter your geographical location or your proximity to philanthropy, you should always have access to the arts. And I think by showing what our footprint is in every state and in every congressional district, that's sort of how we're able to gauge that we're being successful.
Sure. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with National Endowment for the Arts Chair Mary Ann Carter during her visit to Idaho. And speaking of grants, according to your agency's website, Idaho's arts and cultural production added $1.9 billion to the economy. That is with a B. The state has been awarded more than $2 million over the past 5 years. So what's your view on the return of investment that comes with the arts?
Well, the arts really serve as an economic engine, not only in cities, but especially in rural areas. What we have found is when we give a dollar in a grant, that typically leverages $9 back. I just spoke with the head of the Arts and History Department at the city, and she was reporting that they had done a similar study, and it showed a 1-to-7 return. So we have the empirical data that shows investing in art, you really get a really good ROI of return on investment for that.
Right. You know, but at the same time, President Trump, who appointed you to this position, has put forward a budget that eliminates the NEA. You know, quoting from the March budget proposal here, quote, "The administration does not consider NEA activities to be core federal responsibilities." So how do you, you know, as the head of this agency, how do you carry out the mission of the NEA when the administration's expressed goal through this budget is, you know, to begin shutting down the NEA in 2020?
Well, during the campaign of 2016, when the candidates were asked about arts and humanities funding, then candidate Trump said that that's an issue. Funding issues are left up to Congress, and he would abide by that. And so Congress has real bipartisan support for the arts. And in fact, we have gotten raises a very small increase, but an increase nonetheless in our funding over the past 2 years. And the president has signed those bills. So I think we work really hard to show the good work we do, the successes that we're having, the work we're doing with our military, the work we're doing with students. And, you know, I'm so thankful to have the bipartisan support of members of Congress. Several members here in Idaho, Congressman Simpson, as an example, and he's the one who invited me in, and I've spent the last 2 days with him. And so I feel very fortunate that that the Congress believes in us, and I work very hard, and the agency works very hard to maintain that confidence of Congress.
Sure. But I guess when you're leading an organization and the president who appointed you does make these statements through the budget, which is the blueprint for his administration, does that at all, you know, give you pause or make you worried? And do you have to ever answer to, you know, arts administrators in Idaho or beyond who might say, gosh, you know, I saw that budget and I saw that the description and the desire to eliminate this agency. I'm worried. What do you say to them?
I say we have a budget. And as long as we have a budget, I'm going to pursue the mission of this agency, and that is making sure all Americans have access to the arts. And so until the funding may be cut, which I don't think it will be, we have a mission to serve, and we're going to continue to serve it.
Many of your predecessors in this role, you know, come from an arts background. Your background happens to be in politics and in conservative politics. You work for the Heritage Foundation and for Republican politician Rick Scott. How does that influence your work? And what is your love when it comes to the NEA and the arts in general?
So the reason I'm even interested in the arts at all stems from my daughter. When she was 7 years old, she was diagnosed with dyslexia. And I knew a traditional classroom environment wasn't going to be right for her. She was not going to be successful in that environment. And so I started looking around for an educational environment that she could be successful in. And I found a school where they integrate arts into the teaching method. So she will probably never read a textbook, but she learns visually. And so, you know, we've been able to thankfully provide an environment where she can be productive, she enjoys school, and she's successful academically.
That's amazing. Tell us next, where are you going next? Are you back to D.C.? And what's the next state you'll visit after Idaho?
Well, I'm flying to Reno, Nevada from here. And then I will be heading back to D.C. because our schools haven't started yet. So my daughter starts school next Tuesday, the day after Labor Day. So I need to be home for that. And then, let's see, I think it's Minnesota, and then I will meet with the National Assembly of State Art Agencies, of which you have a great executive director of your Arts Council, Michael Faison. We'll meet in Providence, Rhode Island.
Great. Well, thanks for making time out of your busy schedule to come on Idaho Matters.
Great. Thank you so much.
That was NEA President Marianne Carter, interviewed by our executive producer, Frankie Barnhill, during her visit to Boise yesterday. Up next, the year in film so far with our film guru, George Prentice. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.